AOPA Expo wraps up with a position report on user fees. AOPA's Airport Support Network marks its 10th anniversary. And three reporters earn AOPA's Courant Award. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 8, 2007. AOPA Expo wrapped up on Saturday in Hartford. President Phil Boyer spent the lion's share of Saturday's general session on the status of the user fee debate. He warned that the fight isn't over yet. Quote, "We're in the terminal area. We are within sight of the airport, but there's some convective weather ahead, and that's probably the best way to describe where we are right now," unquote. A quick informal poll of the audience by Andy Sabula, AOPA Executive VP for Government Affairs, revealed that most attendees who utilized the Lockheed Martin Automated Flight Service Station system in the last 6 months have had problems. He maintained that outsourcing was still the right decision, and he assured members that AOPA would continue to work to correct outstanding issues. Jim Campbell will have some final thoughts on this year's AOPA Expo in tomorrow's Aero News special feature. AOPA's Airport Support Network took advantage of Expo to mark its 10th anniversary. With nearly 2,000 volunteers in all 50 states, the program's mission is to promote, protect, and defend America's community airports. ASN was formed in direct response to feedback from AOPA members, who recognized that protecting community airports was critical to securing general aviation's future. Friday morning general session at Expo was devoted to protecting America's general aviation airports. Challenges and common problems of general aviation airports were discussed, as well as how local pilots can work with AOPA to secure the future of their airports. AOPA honored three journalists for their reporting of general aviation stories by presenting the 2007 Courant Awards at Expo's opening luncheon. Jennifer Manley of WVII-TV in Bangor, Maine, won for her short television feature on her own experience with flight instruction. In the wake of the high-profile accident involving baseball star Corey Lytle, Manley's story emphasized the fact that pilots and flight instructors focus on safety and use checklists throughout each flight. She also described the training that all pilots go through before earning their certificate. When Dave Hirschman's mom bought an airplane and needed to ferry it from Oklahoma to California, she invited her son to join her. Not only did Hirschman embrace the challenge of flying with his mom, but he also served as her flight instructor during the trip. He won a Courant Award for his article published in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, detailing their trip in an RV-10. The San Diego, California Union Tribune's David Hassemeyer won his Courant Award for his series of articles about an office building that was constructed near San Diego's Montgomery Field, even after the FAA determined that it was a hazard because of its height. Hassemeyer conducted in-depth research and ongoing coverage of the issue and the politics surrounding it. Richard Beach of San Diego received the 2007 Lawrence P. Sharples Perpetual Award, given annually for selfless commitment to general aviation by a private individual. Beach is a pilot who fought the office tower near Montgomery Field. U.S. Congressman Jerry Costello of Illinois was awarded AOPA's Joseph B. Hartranft Jr. Doc Award. Costello is currently serving his 11th term and held a record 10 hearings on FAA issues in an effort to fully explore and understand the critical aviation needs to be addressed in FAA reauthorization. Cessna opened AOPA Expo with news of a diesel variant of the Skyhawk coming next year and provided updates on two other important programs during the show. The plane maker now reports over 850 orders for its new 162 Skycatcher light sport aircraft, making it by far the most popular LSA in terms of orders in the U.S. marketplace. First flight of the prototype Skycatcher is set for the first half of 2008, and deliveries are expected to begin in 2009. Cessna expects to produce up to 700 a year at full rate production. The bigger question at Expo was what will become of Cessna's next-generation piston plane following its announced plans to acquire the type certificates for bankrupt Columbia's composite low-wing designs. Cessna announced that its flight test engineers have racked up more than 180 hours over the past 15 months flying the NGP. Project manager Van Abel said there's still much work to be done in building a business case for the NGP. Quote, "We are in the process of working the configuration so we would have the potential of multiple power plants, and we continue to study features and materials," unquote. There was no hint given on whether the NGP might be completely displaced by a plane based on the Columbia 350 and 400. Up next on ANN, NATCA blames understaffing again. FAA argues back. Three are lost in a medevac accident in Colorado. And a teen's birthday flight gets more exciting than planned. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 8th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association told ANN on Friday of an incident in the skies over Nevada on Thursday in which an aircraft descending through 28,000 feet came within 2.6 miles of a second plane on converging flight paths. Both aircraft were being vectored for spacing at a McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas just after 1 p.m. local time on Thursday. The Citation 750 and a Learjet 60 were under the control of the Los Angeles Air Route Traffic Control Center. NATCA says the planes would have come even closer had the pilots not responded to TCAS warnings and a controller had not vectored the planes away from each other. The union tells ANN the situation is, quote, an unfortunate example of what happens in an overstressed, overworked, understaffed situation, which happens routinely, unquote. Ian Greger, Western Region spokesman for the FAA, begs to differ, quote, this controller error had absolutely nothing to do with staffing. Indeed, the facts prove otherwise. The sector in which the error occurred was fully staffed. There was a routine number of aircraft in the sector when the controller made the mistake, and a supervisor was present. The simple truth is that even good controllers occasionally make mistakes. When they do, we have multiple layers of safety in place to protect the traveling public, unquote. Three people on an air ambulance en route to Alamosa, Colorado, were lost when the plane struck mountainous terrain near the Continental Divide in southwest Colorado late Thursday. FAA's Mike Fergus told the Associated Press air traffic controllers lost contact with the Beechcraft C-90 King Air at 11:20 p.m. Thursday night. After being grounded in the morning by high winds and low-flying clouds, crews in a Black Hawk helicopter eventually got airborne and located the wreckage on Friday afternoon, aided by a signal from the King Air's emergency locator transmitter. A pilot, a flight nurse, and a paramedic were on that flight, which was to pick up a patient in Alamosa. A birthday plane ride got a little more exciting than planned last week when an Indus T-211 torpedo carrying a pilot and his 16-year-old son crashed on Thursday evening near Denton Municipal Airport in North Texas. Denton police spokesman Jim Bryan told Dallas's KDFW-TV the plane was approaching the field from the north just before 8 p.m. on Thursday when it disappeared from the control tower's view. The aircraft came down in heavy brush and trees near phone lines and wound up inverted. There's no indication on whether it hit the lines. The aircraft departed from Grand Prairie Municipal Airport about 31 nautical miles south of Denton. Both the teen and his father are expected to make full recoveries. Japan has jumped ahead of China and India in a heated Asian space race. Japanese officials say their first satellite is now orbiting the moon. The Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency tells AP the probe completed a complicated navigational maneuver to enter lunar orbit early Friday. The probe will gradually move closer to the surface of the moon for its year-long observational mission. Japanese officials claim the $279 million probe, called Selene, is the largest lunar mission since the U.S. Apollo program in terms of overall scope and ambition. Still ahead, exercise caution when wishing for wind at a balloon festival. The Wright Flyer 3 proves its authenticity. And Stanley Paul Butchert has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 8, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The weekend brought a mixed bag of weather for the 36th annual Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico. After calm winds Saturday morning allowed a mass ascension of about 400 balloons, the day ended with gusty winds in the afternoon. KOB-TV reports one balloon landed hard on the field when a strong gust of wind caught the balloon's envelope at about 25 feet above ground and caused it to partially deflate. Ground crews came to the quick assistance of those on board. There was no word on possible injuries. It turned out to be a case of be careful what you wish for. At 6 a.m., when winds were almost perfectly still, KOB-TV weathercaster Steve Stucker quipped, quote, "We could actually use some more wind out here to help the balloons get off the field," unquote. This year's event will run through Sunday, October 14th. Over 700 hot air balloons are registered, including 97 special shapes balloons. New additions include a Darth Vader balloon and a Pandy the Panda balloon. The diaries of Wilbur and Orville Wright detail many unsuccessful flights in the Wright Flyer. Friday morning, a replica proved its authenticity by incurring substantial damage in a prang at the Huffman Prairie Flying Field in Ohio. Ohio Department of Transportation engineer Mark Dusenberry was at the controls, attempting a slow, gentle bank at about 15 feet above ground when a wingtip struck the ground. 2,000 onlookers were there to celebrate the 102nd anniversary of the Wright Flyer 3. 9-year-old Gavin Ransom told the Daily News, quote, "When he crashed, I was just scared. When I saw the ambulance, it didn't help," unquote. Dusenberry was not injured, but was understandably disappointed. Quote, "This is the most damage I've ever had," unquote. It's with sadness that Aero News has learned Stanley Paul Butchert, a former research pilot at Edwards Air Force Base and past director of NASA's Dryden Flight Research Center, died last week from complications related to old age. He was 85. The Los Angeles Times reports Butchert flew a number of prototype aircraft at Edwards in the 1950s, as well as the B-29 motherships that were used to launch experimental X-1A aircraft. During one such test launch of an unmanned X-1A, Butchert was credited with jettisoning the attached rocket plane moments before it exploded, saving his crew and the aircraft. He earned the NACA Exceptional Service Medal after that incident. In 1951, Butchert joined the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics High Speed Flight Research Station, the facility that later became NASA Dryden. He became Dryden's chief test pilot in 1966, then retired from DFRC 10 years later as Director of Flight Operations. By his own calculations, Butchert flew 100 types of aircraft and, quote, "soloed in everything except a hot air balloon," unquote. Perhaps Butchert is now getting that long overdue lighter than airtime. Read more about his life at aero-news.net. And finally, has wearing controversial clothing on a Southwest flight become a shortcut to fame? Over the summer, Kayla Ebert and then Sitara Kasim enjoyed brief TV careers after their revealing outfits were challenged by flight attendants on Southwest flights. Now another Southwest Airlines passenger is complaining of a dress code on the airline, but this time, it's a guy. The Associated Press reports Joe Winiecki of Largo, Florida, boarded a flight in Columbus, Ohio, headed for home wearing a fishing t-shirt which proclaimed him a master baiter. Winiecki says he was already in his seat when an airline employee told him to change the shirt, turn it inside out, or get off the plane. He says he protested what he called an infringement on his right to free speech, but changed his shirt anyway, fearing he'd miss the flight and a day's work. Southwest spokesman Chris Mainz says the airline has discussed giving employees more specific examples of what is considered lewd or offensive, that the employee made a mistake, and that the airline will apologize. Well, Chris, go ahead, but I have to tell you,
As a frequent flyer who's seen my share of crude expressions on t-shirts worn by fellow passengers, especially political ones of late, I'm not sure there's anything wrong with a dress code. Once upon a time, airline flight was expected to be a classier environment than a city bus. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about the flight service station debacle following privatization. Is it really worth fixing, or have other available resources made FSS obsolete? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.